This is the State of Things from the American Tobacco Historic District. I'm Frank Stachow. The refusal of Governor McCrory and the state legislature to expand Medicaid left 500,000 North Carolinians uninsured. Now the governor says he'd like to do something about that. The governor met with President Obama this week to ask about the possibility of waiving federal rules on Medicaid for North Carolina. Jeff Bennett is Washington reporter for Time Warner Cable News, and he joins us now. Welcome back, Jeff.
Thanks for having me, Frank.
Tell us more about this meeting between the governor and the president. What is it exactly that the governor is asking for?
Well, the governor says he wants the flexibility to tailor a Medicaid plan to the state's specific needs. And he says, you know, if the state is to expand Medicaid, he wants, in his words, a North Carolina plan and not a Washington plan. But in order to do that, he has to get a waiver from the federal government. And McCrory said he asked the president about that waiver so the state could allow people or could require people to have a job or a job training as a condition of eligibility for Medicaid. But the governor said that President Obama told him that he was concerned about the precedent that that would set.
Right. You've got this national program, and then it's hard to know how you could tailor it state by state. Now, the governor has said that he's open to the possibility of expanding Medicaid to uninsured North Carolinians. Of course, the state legislature is concerned about the costs. I don't know if that played any part in their conversation with the president.
Well, that's right. In the 28 states that have expanded the program, the federal government pays the full cost for 3 years, and then that share later drops to about 90%. And there are concerns that adding the remaining 10% to the state budget would really do a lot to harm the state. But McCrory and state lawmakers say they're also worried about expanding the bureaucracy that goes along with expanding Medicaid. But, you know, on the other side of that argument, turning down Medicaid expansion with the federal government promising to cover 100% of the costs through next year, through 2016, you know, by doing that, the state is giving up about $51 billion in federal funds. And that, you know, as they say, that's real money.
It's real money that actually gets spent in the economy, in the local economy. So it's a way to generate jobs and create economic growth. That money is lost to us forever. So you're right about that. The governor then spoke to the media, though, after he spoke with the president. And he explained what it is he wanted in for a North Carolina Medicaid plan. Let's listen to the governor.
We want to encourage people to continue to explore job opportunities and training opportunities to get them people jobs and to become independent of government, not dependent upon government.
All right. So that's the governor. Yeah. You want to tell us more about that, Jeff?
Well, and that idea is sort of it's well within standard Republican ideology that if people are going to receive government benefits, they should have to work for it, you know, as much as they're able. And four states have won Medicaid waivers, but those states don't link eligibility to having a job. The most they do is require job training or a job referral. But Governor McCrory says that, you know, even though the president didn't necessarily accept this idea on the merits, that he was open to it and understood the overall argument.
All right. And the president himself, once again, to recap what you think was the response and sort of where we are now with this request to the Obama administration.
Well, the governor himself, I mean, he said that he hadn't made up his mind yet about expanding Medicaid. There are very few specifics about this plan such that it exists. And President Obama, the White House, generally speaking, don't accept this plan the way it was presented at that Tuesday meeting. So there'll have to be some more work on both sides if this is to come into fruition.
All right, Jeff. Well, also, we're tracking what's going on in Washington with the Keystone XL pipeline. We know the GOP-led Congress is expected to pass a bill that authorizes construction of the Keystone Pipeline probably next week. Can you help us understand, first of all, the debate and why so much controversy over this one?
Yeah, well, the House is expected to pass a Keystone bill for the 10th time today to get the ball rolling again here. And the Keystone XL pipeline is the final link in the system to transport oil from Canada's oil sands down to refineries in the Gulf Coast. And tar sands, it's kind of like a really dirty and gooey mix of sand, clay, and oil. And the northern leg of this project, which is what this is all about, would transport about 730,000 barrels of oil each day from Canada to Steel City, Nebraska. And since the pipeline crosses the U.S.-Canada border, the State Department was involved in approving it. And this issue has been kicked around Washington for the last six going on 7 years.
All right. And what's interesting about this is that the Obama administration authorized a similar pipeline from the tar sands, almost 1,000 miles back in 2009. We didn't hear a word about that one, did we?
Well, no, and that's the thing. If you walk around Washington, the halls of the Capitol, and mention the Keystone Pipeline Project, people sort of openly roll their eyes and suck their teeth about it, right, because both sides over-exaggerate the benefits and the consequences for their own political gain. But just to sort of broadly lay out why people are for it and why people are against it, the people who are for it, obviously, are the oil companies and the Canadian government. They say it's difficult to ship all that oil to refineries, which can turn it into usable fuel, and the pipeline would obviously would help with that. So labor unions, generally speaking, are in favor of it. Republicans say the pipeline will support about 42,000 jobs over its two-year construction period and add about, what, $3.4 billion to the economy. But then, you know, obviously Democrats say that that's all overblown. Environmental groups don't want the tar sands industry to expand because it's a relatively dirty form of oil. And it's, you know, it's not just the green activists that are opposed to this, Frank. I mean, the country's biggest nurses union, National Nurses United, is against it, too. And they're worried about the public health impact. And they've pointed to the pipeline spills in Michigan and Arkansas that have caused serious health problems among the residents there.
All right. And, of course, there's been an argument made by Republicans who support this, that this would make us independent, energy independent. We would now have this American oil flowing through our veins, and it would make us, I guess, independent and less vulnerable to interruptions of our energy supply. And that's part of the argument?
That is part of the argument. That's actually what our new senator, Republican Senator Tom Tillis, said this morning when I interviewed him, that it's important for the country to become energy independent. The Obama White House says that's not the case, that the oil that would come through that pipeline would not end up at the back at the pump here in the U.S. But, you know, Senator Tillis is one of 53 Republicans and 6 Democrats who've signed on as co-sponsors to the Senate legislation, and the Senate will vote next week, as you mentioned. And Republican Richard Burr is an original co-sponsor of the bill. And it's the first order of business for this new Senate is to approve this pipeline.
Right, and as you say, that has been the argument. Senator Tillis made the case again with you when you interviewed him this morning. Energy independence, American oil. President Obama, of course, makes a couple of points when he spoke to exactly these issues a couple of days ago.
At issue in Keystone is not American oil; it is Canadian oil that is drawn out of tar sands in Canada. That oil currently is being shipped out through rail or trucks, and it would save Canadian oil companies and the Canadian oil industry an enormous amount of money if they could simply pipe it all the way through the United States down to the Gulf. Once that oil gets to the Gulf, it is then entering into the world market, and it would be sold all around the world.
President Obama speaking in late December about the Keystone oil pipeline here on the State of Things.
And I have to say, I think I can be forgiven, Frank, for saying that the timing of this vote and the choice of legislation is entirely political. I mean, even when he was still presumptive Senate Majority Leader, Mitch McConnell said this would be the Senate's first vote because the new Republican-controlled Senate is using it as an issue to divide Democrats and put pressure on President Obama to veto a bill that the public really, you know, largely supports. About 60% of Americans favor building the pipeline. So Republicans are angling for a confrontation with the president by putting forward a measure they know he opposes and then forcing him to veto it.
It is an interesting issue itself. The president has said that he was likely to veto this bill if it's passed, right?
Well, that's right. And the President Obama doesn't like to veto bills. He's only done it twice during his 6 years in office. So this would potentially be the third.
And it does have some environmental concerns, as you said, but a number of environmentalists have said the impact on the environment. There are far bigger issues in the world today. This is smaller. And even so environmentalists have said impact on global warming and other big environmental issues, negligible. Economists have said impact on the economy, very small. And yet it has. So even the people on both sides of this issue argue that this particular pipeline isn't kind of the focus of their attention. And yet it has become a focus of national attention. President said,
well, that's right.
Yeah.
Yeah, and they've also said that if this pipeline isn't built, the oil would be processed in a different way. So, and we should also mention this morning that the Nebraska Supreme Court removed a huge legal roadblock for the project. The court upheld a Nebraska law that allowed the state's Republican governor to approve the pipeline's route inside the state. And the White House has said for a while now that it didn't want to preempt the Nebraska Supreme Court decision and that it was premature for Congress to step in. So now that that's done, House Speaker John Boehner said this morning that President Obama is now out of excuses for blocking the pipeline, and he should make a decision about it.
So I'm going to talk about one more issue. We know, and I just want to get the lay of the land of what might be happening in Washington in response to the news that police in Paris have ended the hostage situation there, and two suspects have been are dead that we know of. And I just wonder, what's the scene there in Washington? Are people scrambling and paying attention to this? What does it look like in D.C.?
Yeah, all the TVs in the office buildings are set on the cable news networks. President Obama is in Knoxville, Tennessee today to talk about his plans for college affordability. But I just got a message that he's been updated on the situation on Air Force One, and he's been in touch with his counterparts in France. But the White House, condemned this act of terrorism. Both President Obama and Secretary of State John Kerry defended the right of free speech and said that neither France nor any other Western country, for that matter, will be cowed into silence by terrorism.
All right, Jeff, always a pleasure. Thank you for talking with us.
Thank you.
Jeff Bennett, Washington reporter for Time Warner Cable News. Just ahead, historical fiction exploring the lives of people who lived on the margins of history. We'll talk about it on The State of Things from North Carolina Public Radio, a broadcast service of the University of North Carolina, Chapel Hill. Please stay with us.